Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
La Jolla, California. I'll be at the La Jolla Comedy Store August 5th through the 7th. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'll be there August 18th through the 20th. Austin, Texas. I will be there September 2nd through the 3rd. Get your tickets for those shows and all shows on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. And again, I want to say thank you. Thank you for watching this show, subscribing to this show, for supporting this show. You're legitimately changing my life, and I couldn't be more thankful, for real. So if you are watching, hit subscribe on YouTube. It's free. It's a free way to help the show, all right? And if you got to have more, you got to check out the Patreon. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all. I highlight the lowlights with y'all. And there are stories like you've never heard in your life. I promise you that. It's $5 a month. If you sign up for a year, you get over a month free, and you're getting The Honeydew a day early ad-free at no additional cost, all right? If you or someone you know has that story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com, all right? I'll be in La Jolla August 5th through 7th, Philadelphia August 18th through the 20th, and Austin September 2nd and 3rd. That's Labor Day weekend. So get your tickets to that and all shows at ryansickler.com. Now, that's all the biz. You guys know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. And I am very excited to finally have this guest. First time here on the Honeydew, y'all. Bobby Lee. Welcome to Honeydew, Bobby Lee.
Bro, I did your thing. Other one, the crab.
You did the crab feast.
Yeah,
you
so did. It's not my first time.
On the Honeydew, it is.
But, okay.
Which I said.
That's fine. But can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You like this melon?
No.
The green melon. Is that what Honeydew is?
That's what Honeydew is. The whole point of it, very quickly, because I've said it a lot, but I do want to explain
it. You don't have to get
it
into it if you can tell me off screen.
No. Off screen?
Or off camera.
We're in a movie?
Yeah.
I was eating at a diner one night, and they had that fruit cup there, and I ate everything in the fruit cup except for the honeydew.
Right.
Including the red grapes, which I like green grapes, but I ate red grapes over the honeydew.
Yeah.
And when I got up and I walked out, I saw honeydew scattered on all the tables, and I just thought, man, that's a perfectly good fruit that most of us just fuck off.
We'll pass, yeah.
And then it dawned on me that in life— I am that. I'm a perfectly good person that's been thrown away and tossed away again and again again.
It's funny.
So I wanted to lean into the shit show.
Because
instead of everyone's highlights, look at my life. I'm on a yacht. I'm on a this. Like, I want to know when you weren't on a fucking yacht.
Right.
When you were on your knees.
Right. So what I'm saying is that. I wasn't saying anything, but my point is this: I know you, and you say a lot of things like, so-and-so didn't give me, you know, respect back then, or he ignored me, or this. Because I have the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a list of people I'm going to get revenge on, right? But don't you think a lot of that is in our minds?
I think a lot. No. Yes, because we do think it. It's in our minds.
Yeah.
However, it's happened. You can't deny that.
But it happens to everyone?
Sure, everyone gets disrespected and shit on all the time, yeah. But See, here's the thing. I told you before we were talking. I don't harbor ill feelings. I use it as fuel to move forward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, go ahead. But also, most of the people that have big timed me and they've all turned out to be shit shows. You know what I mean? I'm like, huh.
Right. Yeah.
The one thing that's been, how old are you now? I'm 49.
We're the same age.
It's been,
I'm 50.
It's one of the lessons that's taken me longest to learn in life, and I still slip up here and there, is that most things take care of themselves. I don't have to jump in and say this and do that and blah, blah, blah.
But let me just have that point, though. So I was at Keegan Key's birthday party,
mm-hmm.
and Ron Howard was there. I'm a big Ron Howard fan.
Fuck yeah.
Right? And so I was like telling Kalila, I was like, I gotta say something, right? She's like, don't just ignore it, right? And so he was at the buffet. I love Apollo, I said, I love Apollo, right? He just kind of walked away with his thing, right? Yeah, he kind of just walked away with thing, right? And I got about 13 and he was gone. By the time I said 13, he was gone, yeah. Right? My point is that he, number one, he probably didn't hear it, right? Number two, he probably gets it all the time, right? So it's like, normally I would be like, oh, I'm going to take that person, I'm going to get revenge and run out. But at the end of the day, right? But at the end of the day, he probably didn't hear it, and you know, it's a party.
That's
he's got other people.
Though.
No,
that's
what I'm saying though
different.
Is that, but I know that dudes come up to me and go, I've heard like Bobby Lee's an asshole. And they go, why? Because, oh, well, he's, you know, I said, I've met him three times, and you know what I mean? He doesn't remember me or whatever like that. But it's like something that I'm not really privy to or I'm aware of. My point is that in life, right, you know, maybe it's a lot of it just lives in our head.
Yeah, well, I did shows with you and knew you for well over a decade. And then when I got to work with you individually, yeah, on the Comedy Jam, you were like, who are you? And but
see,
but,
that's what I'm, I instantly remember that.
But also, I didn't take it personally because I know that is how it is. Some people are. They're everyone's got their – look, just because we're coworkers. At the end of the day, if you strip away what we do – because what we do, I do believe, is magical, and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you just classify it as a job, okay, we're just coworkers. All of us are coworkers.
That's true.
You know, so you've got some of these coworkers
– we're in a big corporation.
That's it.
With a lot of people that are working there.
That's right.
You're not going to know everybody.
Nope.
Some
or be
come
friends.
In and out.
You'll know them. Hey, Jan.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever. How's this? How's that? But, you know, outside of that, you don't text, talk, hang out.
But so Brian Simpson, you know him?
Mm-hmm.
I remember a time where for a couple of years, I never even looked at the dude, right? I go, is that a homeless black man? You know what I mean? Like,
he does roll up
shit. It's a fat, homeless black man, right? And that's what I would think to my head, right? And then all of a sudden, like, I could see him rise. You see him rise, right? Mm-hmm. And it's nothing that I'm not going out of my way to do it. I just would find myself in conversations with him and just being, I'd see him perform. I'd go, God, this guy's really good. And over the years. And then, like, he was in Austin. We were doing some festival. I don't know, whatever. Moon Tower. And he was sitting there outside of the hotel. It was like 6 a.m. He had just partied and he just got back. I had already slept. And he didn't look good. So I kind of walked up to him. I rubbed his back and I go, you know, hey, you should get some sleep. Like giving him advice. And he's like, you think so? I go, yeah, you look weird. You know what I mean? And I was concerned for him, mm-hmm. right? But the whole time in my head, it's like, dude, I've been ignoring this guy. I ignored this guy for years, right? So it's just like, I've been analyzing that in my head. Like, what is that about the human condition when you see somebody rise to your level and then all of a sudden you change? But I don't like that about myself. But is that what we are?
I don't know. I try to treat everybody the same from the get-go because you never know who's going to rise.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also, I think this – you know what? Let me focus for 1 second. Would please plug and promote everything you would like to do right now, all your shows.
Why?
All
why now?
Because I always do it at the top and I do it at the end because I'm here for the comedian.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Instead of people who wait 2 hours and go, plug it now. And then everybody's like, let me turn it
on. Can I do
it
in like 10 minutes?
You could do it whenever the fuck you want, but I want you to know we're doing it.
You know, that's another thing I want to change about myself. When people tell me to do something, I won't do it, but I want to change that about myself.
I'm going
to
ask you. I'm not going
to
tell
you. So ask me to do it now.
Will you please?
I will.
Will you please plug it?
I will. All right. So, yeah, I got nothing. No, I have. You know, I'm on two podcasts, Tiger Belly and Bad Friends with Andrew Santino. And then in August, I guess I'm in a show called Reservation Dogs, second season. And I mean, I have a bunch of other things, but they're not coming out yet. So, yeah, that's good.
Good. All right.
Yeah.
So
what?
Let's talk.
About what?
Well... You tell me if we're allowed to talk about it.
Yeah,
but when
good.
I saw you, you said, because I had said, I've never met Kalila. I'm a fan of hers.
I want to say this, okay? 10 years ago, when I met her on Tinder, my career was in the shitter. Like, I was literally about to get let go of my agency, and I wasn't bringing up any income. I wasn't getting any auditions. I would sporadically over the years, maybe we'll book a pilot or something, right? But it was like nothing really... tended to work out for me. And I would see other people rise, and I was literally at a point where I was like, you know what? I got to change something about how I view my business and not to make it like my number one thing, you know, because, you know, when you make your business your number one thing, it's, there's just a lot of pain that goes along with that, right? And life is not about that. So I, you know, decided to pour my attention into a relationship, and I met Kalilah at the perfect time. And, you know, in many ways, she's the love of my life. She reinvented my career. We started Tiger Belly with nothing. We just bought equipment from Guitar Center, and we just started doing it. And this was about 8-9 years ago, and it grew, you know, it grew, and it helped other aspects of my business. And now, like, you know, I'm selling show. I have a couple of shows I sold, and you know, I'm in. I have a pretty big movie I'm coming. You know, I mean, just things are happening, and I really equate that to, you know, the dedication of Kalilah in me, her investment in me and my investment in her. And she is the love of my life, and I love her dearly. And she changed me in so many different ways. That being said, we broke up. Yeah. And this is the first time, you know, I don't know if this is...
We'll hold this episode until we'll announce it respectfully. Because I really would like to meet her. I saw her for 10 seconds at Christina's party.
Yeah.
And you as well. You came in, bowed to me, and bounced. And then I was like, what the fuck's
going on?
I was dressed like I was from the 80s, bro.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
It was 80s party.
It was dark. I go, is that a magical gnome? And
and so, I would love to have her on here, too.
Yeah.
But I did not know you guys broke up.
No one knows. Yeah. This is the first time I've talked about it.
Well... We'll hold this episode.
Yeah,
but I hear
this
you.
Literally is the first time I've talked about it on a podcast. Hopefully, my other one would have aired by now that people kind of know. But it was a long, difficult decision between us. And we still live together.
That's what you said. We still sleep on the same bed.
We still laugh and giggle. And we're going to the Philippines soon because we're working on a project together. Nothing's really changed outside of the fact that we're not, you know, in a committed relationship as boyfriend and girlfriend. That might change. I don't know. I mean, but right now we feel good. I mean, I can only speak for myself. You know what I mean? I feel pretty good about it. It's painful. It's hard. I mean, when you're in a relationship with someone that you love that hard for 10 years, Yeah, but a lot of things went on, you know. And, you know, if people follow the internet, you know, and follow my story, you know, a lot went on in the last year. But it's, you know, honestly, it was mostly my fault. And I'll tell you why. A couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, before the pandemic, I could see myself out of the relationship in terms of like giving her what she needs. You know, women, they need cuddles, they need attention, they need intimacy, they need all the, and I was not giving her anything. I was just playing video games and like watching porn all day, you know what I mean? And she would say, every day, she would cry and be like, what about me? What's going on? And I'd just be like, I'm just not, I don't know, I'm going through something. I would make some sort of excuse, you know? And in the last 2 or 3 years, we had sex maybe twice.
What?
Yeah. And she would always want it. And I just, for some reason, I think getting into a business.
Well, wait, so you're saying you're not just watching porn, you're jerking off. You're self-satisfying.
I watch porn for the cinematography. What the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean?
Well, you said watch, bro.
Yeah.
But you're self-satisfying everything. The video games, the comedy, the porn. And she's like, what about me?
Yeah.
And two to three times in two years?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, you reflect at your behavior and what caused all this. And she's getting a lot of things on the internet, you know what I mean? And I have to take 95% of the blame, really, I think. You know, I really believe that.
I mean, I'm with you. That's good. Everything is getting more expensive, including rent. Prices are skyrocketing all over the country. And buying a home might feel scary right now, but it could be your most stable option. I highly recommend checking out the How to Buy a Home podcast. Host David Sidoni is an industry expert with years of experience who is devoted to helping first-time home buyers navigate this crazy marketplace, and he can help you. Did you know there's a difference between interest rates and mortgage rates? David will break it all down for you. He's also shared pro tips and tricks to navigate this insanely competitive landscape. How to Buy a Home is an incredible resource, and you don't even have to take notes. David's How to Buy a Home podcast has helped so many listeners close on houses that they thought were impossible, even as things went bonkers in 2021 and 2022. If you're thinking about buying a home next month, next year, in 5 years, David can help you too. He can even connect you with a great realtor in your area. Look, I'm about to talk to David, and I know so many of you have already. I've had people come up to me at shows and be like, we bought our first house because of you. That blows me away. And he wouldn't still be coming back here promoting if you weren't, y'all. So start your path today with the How to Buy a Home podcast and make this the last year you rent. Listen to the How to Buy a Home podcast today. Find How to Buy a Home on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. The hot summer months are here, and we need to be proactive about keeping our bodies fueled and hydrated. One stick of liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. Listen, I love liquid IV. I'm taking that every single day. We have it here at the studio. I'm giving it out at shows, all right? I'm giving it to anybody I know that asks. Tom Segura Security got some. What's up, Marcus? What I like most about Liquid IV is how easy it is to take along with you no matter where you are. You just drop it in and you're good to go. It really is that easy. And one stick of Liquid IV hydration multiplier and 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. It contains 5 essential vitamins. It's got B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C with 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. It's made with premium ingredients, non-GMO, and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Grab Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code HONEYDEW at checkout. That's 25% off of anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code HONEYDEW at liquidiv.com. Now, let's get back to the do.
I regret so many things. I regret so many things. You know, I regret a lot of things. I'm not even specifically to her. I've regretted things in my life, in my career, in other ways. You know what I mean? There's a lot of regret there. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm just authentically trying to be myself. And I'm literally doing the best I can. I really am. You know, I do therapy every week. I have a psychiatrist once a month. I go to AA meetings.
Good.
I do everything I can. I've always been into self-improvement. I've always been into seeing where my behavior is and where I can change. Am I a fucked up guy? Yeah. Do I have problems? Oh, yeah. A lot of problemas. You know what I mean? But, it's life. And from now on, I think I'm unfuckable. Because, you know, I've never gotten a DM. And I've never gotten a DM.
You said this to me.
Never gotten a DM.
I mean, not I've had titty, girls. Nothing. That's what I'm saying. I've had girls that just send just titties. Like, hey, here's some titties. Thought you could start your day off.
Yeah, that's so kind
right.
of
like,
them to do that.
Yeah, thank
that's
you
so kind
much.
Of them to do that. Yeah, I've never gotten a shoulder blade or a finger or nothing from a woman. But it's fine.
But I told you, once you say you're single and you say that, you're opening the floodgates. You're going to get some titties.
I don't think so. Because I've asked for titties. Before.
That's why you didn't get them. They're gonna come.
No. I've asked for titties. Yeah. And I've gotten dicks.
I believe
that.
I've
gotten a couple of dicks.
Yeah.
I don't like dicks. You know what I mean?
More
I
want dicks than tits.
But you know, honestly, I don't. It's funny. I don't want to see anybody.
That's what I want to. So you're at a point where you're not. Or you don't feel you can make things right in this relationship right now, yet you also don't want to go meet someone.
No, it's not about that. Right. I literally don't want to. I have no interest in compromising, in listening,
you know what I mean? in like, being a good partner.
Yeah, and pretending. You know what I mean? I have no interest in that. You know what I mean? I have no interest it's of like, you know, what about do. Me? Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. You know what I mean? And it's like, because I have no interest of like, you know, hey, let's go have dinner. But you know what? I'm cutting out meat, so let's go to Veggie Grill, right? I'm going to Morton's.
I'm just going to start dating you, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to Morton's. You have fun at Veggie Grill. I have no I have no room in my life to go, I'll go there, right? You know, with me, it's like, you get, this is what you get with me, right? And this is every, ask any girlfriend that I've ever had, right? Is you'll get some financial security in the sense of like, you know, I always pay for the meal. You know what I mean? If you want to go to Tulum, we'll go to Tulum, right? If you want, but it's like, you know, one time this one girl was a DJ. I dated a girl that was a DJ, like a amateur. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm DJing at a club, you know what I mean? Downtown or Little Tokyo. I go, have fun. Like, if she wanted me to go, I just have no interest. And that's, women don't like that.
No, they don't like that. No.
You know, if they were like DJing with Steve Aoki, you know what I mean? And I think I'll go that, you know what I mean? But it's like, I'll go one time. I'll go one time.
Yeah.
I'll go one time, right? But then it's like you're there and then, you know what I mean? You're like, and then you got to lie like, you're good. I don't know what good is as a DJ.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you're lying. You're like, you were really good when you did the two things. You know what I mean? The chick was so good. You know what I mean? But like, I don't want to, I'm lying. You know what I mean? And it's like, here's another thing though, what I want to say is that like, I'm also very good at supporting what you do. Like for instance, right? Let's say you're a girl, mm-hmm. all right? And you're like, you know, I like, you know, I like going into the mountains and I like going to the rivers and I like panning for gold.
Okay.
That's your hobby. Like your great grandfather was a gold panner.
49er.
Yeah, 49er. Is what they call you, a 49er, right? And I'd be, and she, and if you were my girlfriend, you said, I'm going to go to Colorado. I don't know where they do it. You know what I mean? Do they do it in Colorado?
I don't know if anyone does it anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the mountains of Columbine. I don't know what it is. Is that a thing? Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go to the mountains of Columbine because that's the only thing I know about Colorado because of the shooting. Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to go to the mountains of Columbine and I'm going to go pan for gold for a month. I'd be like, do you need money to go? Yeah, I'll give you the money, right? You go, right? Just don't fuck anybody else, right? And I'm completely for that, right? But if I play more than 2 hours of video games, it's a problem. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know so you're independently codependent.
What does that mean?
Meaning you like alone time. You like to be by yourself. Go over there. Do whatever you want to do. Be loyal. Have fun.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Hell, here's some money. I'll support it. But I'm going to stay right the fuck here and do my thing.
Yeah.
You like to be.
Starfield is going to come out in about 8 months, I think. You know what I mean?
Is this the movie?
No, it's a Bethesda video game. Oh, okay. Right? And they did Fallout and Skyrim. Right? And I know that when Starfield comes out, I'm going to be playing that thing 16 hours a day, baby.
Are you really?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
your thing?
Yeah. I don't give a fuck. I'm playing it 16 hours a day. And I don't want to be in a relationship where they're like, you know, we're going to go to the park. You know, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think 50 and I was like, I don't want to do it. And I'm sorry. If you want to go to the park with your friends, I'm all for it. You know what I mean? And if you want to go to Maestro's in between video games and get a steak dinner, let's do it.
I'm your guy.
Yeah, and at 2 a.m. you want to come over and you want to give me a hand job, let's do it.
A hand job. Yeah,
whatever it goes. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'll eat your vagina. You know what I mean? I'll eat your vagina. You know what I mean? You know, whatever you want. You know what I mean? And I'll do it good. I'll do the best of my ability. I'll do the best of my ability, right?
Like,
my point is
that.
So this is, so that's why I know from now on, right? I feel like I'm just going to be alone.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say. So you've accepted that there is no human woman out there that's going to say yes to that proposal you just gave.
Exactly.
And you're okay with that. And you don't blame them one bit.
Yeah.
You don't blame. What do you mean blame? Well, I'm saying if you said, look, I'm going to be playing this game for 16 hours a day and they were like, hey, no thanks. You're like, hey, I get it.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul.
No, but here's the thing though. Here's my thing, okay? Is if I wasn't making money, right, that's one thing, mm-hmm. right? But I go on the road. If I book a movie or TV show, I do that. I show up on time. I know my lines. I know the character. You know what I mean? I sold a couple of shows, one with Theo Von at Fox, right? You know, I'm going to get the showrunner for that. You know what I mean? And I'm going to go into the writer's room and try to figure this out, right? And me and Theo came up with the idea. So I created creatively. I do all the things I need to do to make money and to be productive in that way, right? I was a guy that was just smoking weed all day and doing that, that's one thing, right? But I'm not. I'm not a loser, right? It's just that I don't want to go to Veggie Grill. And you know what I mean? I don't.
Well, that sounds like video games is your golf.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Yeah.
How long do you play golf for?
I don't golf, but I know those guys are out there like six, seven, 8 hours and shit. Yeah.
Right, and for some reason, golf seems okay because if you're outdoors, right. And you know what I mean, you're with your buddies, right? Yeah. But it's like
spending more money than you are on those video games.
Right, right.
Lessons, clothes, clubs, balls, tees, all of it.
Yeah, so, you know, that's where I'm at. I'm also 50, and also, can I just be honest with you?
You look great, Bobby.
Thanks, but I'm a kind of chubbier old Korean man now.
In
the market, I don't know.
In the market.
Here's the thing. Here's what it is. I have, you know what I mean? I have alpha male eyes. That's the thing, right? Like, I think God intended me to be with like a 4'7" Vietnamese girl named Ning Ning, right? Like, you know, I think that's what God intended, but I have alpha male eyes. Like, you know, all those dudes, you know what I mean, in the comedy store that you know or in the comedy, right, that are machismo. Mm-hmm. I have their eyes when it comes to, like, attractive women, right? Kalila's very attractive, right?
She's beautiful,
And so it's like, I just feel like with this new approach, you know what I mean, and with my alpha male eyes, I'm just going to be alone. And I'm okay with that.
Are you?
No. But I'm going to have to be because it's like...
Are you okay with it for a minute? At what point do you think... And it's going to be difficult too because she's in the same home. What point do you think you'll start longing for that affection or...
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Do you not enjoy it?
Let's be honest. Can we be honest for a second?
Please.
What I've realized, because I've analyzed every relationship I've ever been in, right? In the first 2 years, you know what I mean, you're into it, right? Because you're getting to know the person, you know, the mystery of it all. Like when I first saw Kalila naked, I cried.
Did you?
Oh yeah, I whimpered. And I looked at the heavens and I said, thank you, Lord. There is a God. You know what I mean? This is like winning a $1 million lottery. I appreciate it, you know? You know, so in the beginning, it's always that, right? And you're getting to know the person, everything's a mystery, right? But after about 3 or 4 years, right, the mystery goes away, right? And it becomes more of a friendship and a compromise. And you have to start, you know, and life happens, right? People get sick, you know what I mean? Things happen, you get old, you know what I mean? And it's like, it begins to fall apart, you know? And it's like... why is that, right? And I just think that am I the type of guy that likes the mystery of it and the chase? And then once I have it, you mean, does that all go away? And what I found over the years is it does for me. So I have to figure out how I don't want that to happen again, right? And so—
So how do you, Bobby Lee, get over that hump? That's what you need to figure out.
They break apart, and I want to meet somebody where it just doesn't.
Look, I get it. I've never had a successful relationship. It's always either me or them, you know?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not easy. You know, I'm set in my ways. I'm 49. I'm 50. So also, I say this all the time. As comedians, what we do is a very selfish thing. It's a solo sport. It's not improv. It's not an ensemble. It's not it's a solo sport. When you're up there by your fucking self. We don't see each other unless we're on the same show in town. Outside of that, we're seeing each other maybe in an airport here and there. It's a selfish, and not in a negative way, but that's what selfish is. It's all about me, and this is my thing that I'm doing. So I get it also as a comedian. How you feel with, like, I'm good on fucking Veggie Grill, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. It's a selfish thing.
Here's another added element to my situation is that, you know, my intentions with Kalila is we're continuing to do Tiger Belly. indefinitely.
Well, I mean, that's very mature too, because why kill fucking something that's great?
We work great together, yeah. And we also have other things that we're producing and things that we're doing, and she's my best friend. And so that's another thing. It's like, I have that with her, you know what I mean? And so I can't see a world where I have no interest, you know what I mean? But every once in a while, I would love to see a titty. You know what I mean? Let's just a random titty on DM, you know what I mean? But that's it, you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe I'll change my tune, you know what I mean? This is fresh for me, and people change. But, you know, with all that said, you know, I have no interest. I want to focus on, you know, internal things in terms of just getting better as a human being. You know, I also just let the internet affect me, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you've gone through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Especially for someone who has the issues you talk about openly, to have to go through that amount of stress and anxiety the last couple months. It's been
terrible.
It's been crazy.
It's been terrible. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on that people aren't even privy to that I'm not willing to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of things that are going on, and I just, you know, I just, as a human being, I buckled, you know, and I have to change, and so that's what.
Well, I'd like to say this. You can say you buckled. I don't think you buckled. You bent a little bit, but when I saw you in the green room the second time. The first time I called, I lent you my support. I gave you a hug. And I did say that the words mastermind and Bobby Lee should never be back to back anyway. So that's how I knew all that was bullshit.
Yeah.
But the next time I saw you in the green room, you were like, I'm fucking Bobby Lee. And I was like, God damn right you are. You're Bobby fucking Lee.
Yeah, I forget, you know, so, what does that mean even? Like, you know, it's so funny. I know, but
everything to you. That's what the fuck. Who the fuck do you think you're talking to?
Yeah.
It's a
strange thing, because it's like, you know, we go to the grocery store. We're human beings, right? We have the same problems as everyone else. I'm a human being living on this planet. And I, you know, I never think about really who I am or what I do, right? Every once in a while, a kid will come up to me and go, nosotros papaya, or they'll say, I'm a bad friend, or whatever it might be, and it feels great, or I loved you on this, you know what I mean? And that feels good, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you forget about, I don't know, I mean, it's a combination between being, because, you know, I struggle between being an egomaniac and the king and a peasant, right? Like, sometimes I feel like, I'm the king. Look at me. And then there's a lot of times, and this could fluctuate during the day, where I feel like I'm a piece of shit, I'm a loser, and you know, you go into whatever that is, you know what I mean? And I just want to get to a point where I'm just who I am and just in the middle somewhere, you know? I mean, that's really essentially where I want to be, you know? But yeah, I am. So when I told you that I'm Bobby Lee, it was because I had spent that for 2-3 weeks going, I'm a loser, you know what I mean? I'm a piece, because I did read things online and stuff. And I just, you know, that day I saw you, I was just like, you know, no, fuck it. I'm Bobby Lee. You know what I mean? So it's like, but I do want to find the middle.
A killer set.
I had a pretty good set, yeah. But, you know, I want to be in the middle, you know? Don't you want to be in the middle?
Yeah. I mean, look, let me ask you this then, because you mentioned outside we were going to get coffee. You mentioned rehab. So what happened to, how long ago was rehab, and what actually made you finally say, all right, I'm going to do it?
The deaths of Bob Saget and Louis Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. I was used, like, you know, I went to Mexico with Santino to do the Cancun.
Fucking Santino.
Yeah, Santino, the Cancun just for laughs thing. Mm-hmm. And I was totally I had a vomit beard, like, you know, I had poo on my fingers. I was fucked up.
Were you drinking?
I was drinking, alcohol. You know what I mean? I poo on my fingers and vomit beers, you know what I mean? And was just walking, I was just, you know, days, you know what I mean? And I had a bunch of drugs on me. It was really bad. And
is that the first time in how many years you used?
couple years, you know what I mean? Okay. But I had already been doing it for a couple of months, but it was like now getting out of hand where it was like 24 hours a day and this and that. Yep. And then Bob Saget died, and then Louis Anderson died, and then I started coughing up blood.
Whoa.
Yeah. I started coughing up chunks of like blood, and I would send it to Kalila and I'd go, am I, what the fuck, I can't breathe.
From just from the drinking?
No, from smoking cigarettes and so much weed, you know what I mean? And there were like balls of red chunks of things and in a napkin. And then I just started thinking, I just convinced myself that I had lung cancer.
You know? Jesus Christ.
And I
yeah.
go, I'm next. Because I'm OCD. So I was like, everything happens in threes. And I'm the third one.
Oh my
and
God.
I just became obsessed with it. Right. And then I convinced myself I couldn't breathe. I would have these panic attacks. And I would be also drunk or high or a combination between both things. And I just became imprisoned in my own mind, you know. And I started doing prayers, you know what I mean? Like, please, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I have too much to do. And I asked Kalila, book me into a rehab. And I went. That's essentially all it was, you know. It was the worst psychological one. You know, I could probably last another year or two, you know, after that. But it was, when you turn 50 and you're acting like that, you know what I mean? And then people, not that Bob Saget and Louis Anderson are my age. They're probably a generation or two above me, you know what I mean? But these are two people that I knew. I wasn't as close to Bob, but he was very nice to me. But Louis, I used to open for and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, I just have too much to do, you know? And I'm old and I have to change. I can't do this anymore. You know what I mean? Your body just kind of goes, whoa, what? I think that's what it was. I think my body was going, we can't do this shit that you were doing when you were 17.
Right.
You know? And so after I got out of I went to two places. After I got out, after a month, you know, I lost.
Was it a month?
Yeah. I lost. I had a movie that I had got booked with Zooey Deschanel. It was like a pretty big, good movie that when I was in rehab, I lost because I was in rehab.
Oh, man.
I lost a TV show. You know what I mean? I lost things. You know what I mean? And when I got out, I'm like, you know, I just equated all that stuff to be like a result of doing that kind of behavior. And so I'm doing everything I can just not to get back there again, you know. I want to do the next chapter of my life, which I feel like is my final chapter. You know, I don't know how many chapters I have, you know, but for the rest of my life, I want to do it the best way I can, in a healthy way.
It's interesting. When I worked for Oprah.
Yep. You worked for Oprah?
I did. I worked for Oprah.
Oprah Winfrey?
Yeah. There's only one, bro. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't
know. Oprah Williams.
Yeah. Wait. You worked for Oprah Winfrey?
Yeah.
Where?
Right here in LA. When she started her network, OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Yeah.
I was.
Did you ever talk to her?
I met her one time.
Yeah.
Twice I met her. I went and. I was a producer on her shoots and stuff, and they were doing shows, so I got to meet her, get all their guests and shit. But I was very early in setting up her network out here, and at the time there was this thing they called a shift. It happens in your life, and it sounds like you're going through one right now. You're shedding a lot of old relationships mm-hmm. that you've had for some time. Mm-hmm. And it seems like this shift is coming. And I don't think it's necessarily just because you're 50. I think there's this time in your life where certain things fall out the way they fall out, and you're in a shift and you're shedding some people and things. And maybe you keep them in your life in a certain way. Go ahead, Bobby Lee.
What I want to say, though, too, is that directly to the people out there, you know what I mean? What I want to say to the people out there is I don't have a problem with Brendan Schaub, right? Or Callen or these guys, you know? I mean, I've known Brian Callen for over 20 years, you know? I mean, we're from the same show. I mean, he was on Mad TV before me, but we're a part of that family, right? So it's like, I've been to Brian's house, you know what I mean? I've hung out with those guys many, many times, right? I was just setting a boundary for myself because they were saying crazy things that I had nothing to do with, right?
You are a unique mashup of all your favorite things, and there's a multitude of ways to express yourself. Celebrate all that you are and explore who you can be with customizable prescription glasses from Pair Eyewear. Look, when I first got these, I was like, I don't know how these are going to look. Let me test it out. They're awesome. All right. They've got so many different colors, so many different styles. The prescriptions are on point. Then you just, boom, snap these little magnetic pieces right over. You look from the side, you can't tell. I'm telling you, I'm very critical, and I love these things. All right, Pair Eyewear's base frame and magnetic top frame combination makes it easy to switch up your style. Base frames start at just $60, including prescription lenses. There are hundreds of top frame designs to match whichever base frame you choose. For every pair purchased, Pair provides glasses and vision care for children around the world, which is awesome, and I love that. Get glasses as unique as you are. One pair, infinite style, starting at just $60. Go to PairEyewear.com/honeydew for 15% off your first purchase. That's 15% off at PairEyewear.com/honeydew. It's summer, y'all. Lighten up. Dadgrass is great anytime. They can help you chill out before a big meeting or be a new replacement to that evening glass of wine. They are the perfect pairing to everything summer has to offer. Dadgrass is legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Dadgrass CBD products are made with 100% organic hemp that's easy to dose, and the effects come on smooth. They offer a variety of products from their token smokable pre-rolled joints, as well as hemp flavor and variety of CBD tincture drops. Enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. So whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. Listen, I'm telling you, I know some of this stuff out there is high octane, gives people panic attacks and all that. This Dadgrass is great. I've even had their mom grass too. It's fantastic, all right? Right now, Dadgrass is offering my listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/honeydew. Go to dadgrass.com/honeydew for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew.
So it's like, I'm not in a war with them, you know? I just told them, don't, you know, normally these guys, I would let people talk to me in that way, right? Because in comedy, obviously, you know that there are people that are not like you. Like, you and I think are more similar in terms of like our sensibilities. You know what I mean? We're a little sensitive, no?
Very.
Yeah, very sensitive. And we're, you know, little soft creatures, right? And there are other people that are like more dominant, alpha-y, right? And so it's like I usually just absorb that shit, but I'm like, because of the shift that you're talking about, I just basically said, hey, man, don't talk to me like that because I didn't do anything, right? And we're done. Why can't I do that as a human being?
You can. That's what I'm saying.
To another human being. So that's all that happened. But people online are like saying like it's a war or there's a division. There is no division, right? I'm just a guy that says I don't want to be talked to in that way. I didn't do anything, right? It was just out of left field. It was very traumatic, and I don't need to take that.
Yeah, you know my producer Kirsten is on the fucking, she's got her finger on the pulse of everything podcasting, and she was telling me all the stuff that was going on. So I watched your episodes, and I've talked to other comedians about it as well, and you've been pretty open and honest about everything out there.
Yeah, and
so I don't blame you one bit.
And I mean, saw Brendan at, we were at a wedding together, and I you know, he was getting coffee, and I walked up to him. I go, what'd you get? Oh, he goes, I got an ice. What are you going to get? You know what I mean? I go, I'm going to get a double espresso. You know what I mean? I'm not that him and I are ever going to get back to the place, but it's like, I feel like there's, you know.
That was like a work function. You were professional.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? I'm trying to figure it out, but.
Boundaries are necessary.
I'm not allowing that anymore. Yeah, good. I don't want to allow it, you know, but. That's all it is, you know what I mean? It was like, I never had a problem with those guys. I love those guys. In fact, one of my most viral things when it comes to podcasting is on Fighter Than Kid. It's like still out there, you know what I mean? It's a very funny bit. And, you know, we worked well together at one point. It just got out of hand, you know? And don't know, man. It was just, I wish it never happened, but. And did that affect my relationship with, it did. I mean, a lot of that stuff affected it. It kind of put more fuel on something that, you know what I mean, that didn't need more fuel.
Right.
You know? And
that was already having problems.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if, I think maybe a year from now, maybe, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'll realize that Kalila's the one for me and we'll get back. I don't know. Who knows what'll happen. But
sounds like she's still going to be right next to you on the bed.
We sleep great and we communicate and there's a lot of crying and a lot of growing up that we're doing, you know, and it's, you know, really, it's tough, but like I said, man, I don't know what's going to happen. That's another thing. It's like, I don't give a shit. I don't want to live in the results of anything. You know, it's like, I'm not a fortune teller. You know, I can't foresee. I could die in a year. I don't know what's going to happen, right? But it's like, the most important thing is obviously the moment and the here and now. And I just need to live in this space, you know, because for my whole life, I've never lived here. I've never lived in the moment. Everything was like, what is it, you know, how come this guy got that? And how can I get that? And what if this happens and that? It's just like not living, you know what I mean? You're reacting to things that didn't happen, right? You're reacting to things that happened in the past, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, it's no way to live, and I can't
That's
do
what
that.
The EMDR therapy did
That's
for
what
me.
I'm doing.
Yeah, that you, worked.
So wait,
it is,
you had trauma?
Yeah, so I it's so funny because
I do it too.
Dr. Drew recommended it. I started talking to him about it, and
Love
he's like,
guy.
"Have you ever done it?" And I said, "No." He goes, "You would know if you have. It's not talk therapy." So I went, and I had been fine as far as anxiety and things, so I thought. And then my daughter almost got hit by a car. And man, did I come unhinged. I got scared to fly. I got scared of heights, just fear, fear, fear. And I couldn't shake it, the flights. You know, I'd be like, oh, every bump. And I used to fucking love taking off on the runway. I felt like a fucking rock star.
Yeah.
And I knew I needed to beat it because we fly fucking everywhere. So I went to EMDR and I started working on that. I mean, I sleep on flights now.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
And it works so pretty that quickly, too.
Your daughter almost getting run over was the traumatic event?
That was the fucking thing that was made thing. That. I was laughing like my trauma just been laying in a hammock. Like, oh, there's my call.
Yeah.
And here it comes, you know? Yeah. And it had been there all these years. It just wasn't triggered by anything.
Mm.
And that fear triggered it. And man, did it show up in ways that I had never experienced before.
Yeah. There's a lot of incidences that happened to me as a kid that I've worked on with EMDR, and I haven't fully processed it all, but it's like.
Are there any you're comfortable talking about?
Oh yeah, I mean the main one that I processed is, you know, my brother and I used to. I mean, this is not funny, you know. It's not funny. This is a comedy podcast, right? This is not funny at all.
You're doing just fine.
It's not funny at all, though, man. All right. Anyway. So my brother and I, we lived in Minnesota, right? And Edina, Minnesota. And Dover Drive, that's the street we lived on. And my brother and I shared a room. And I don't know how old I was, maybe 8 or 9. My brother was 6. And I distinctly remember 2-3 in the morning being awoken to my mom being in my room. She turned the lights on and she opened her mouth and her mouth was bleeding. Her tooth was missing, right? And then she was saying in Korean, help me, my dad's coming in, right? Because my dad had punched her in the face, right? And then I remember my brother and I and my mom barricading the door.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because my dad was coming and he was drunk, you know, saying all kinds of say. And I just remember the fear of that, right? And he opens the door. He got in. And I don't remember what happened afterwards, right? But I just remember distinctly doing that, you know what I mean?
You can still see your mom with that tooth knocked out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And she was just in town because she did the Bad Friends Live with me and Andrew, right? And the tooth that's missing, she has an artificial tooth there.
Really?
But it's like, it's stained a little bit, right? So it always reminds me of it. You know what I mean? But I've done EMDR on that incident, right? And there's a lot of instances like that in my childhood, right? And what that does is like, you know, now as an adult, you know, you walk into every room. I don't walk into a restaurant or a comedy club like everyone else. You know, I walk in and I look at everything first. I look at the perimeter where it's safe. You mean where the exits are,
fire exits, all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I just look at life in a different kind of way, in a cautious way, you know. And it all stems from, you know, how I was raised and the experiences that I have, you know. And I don't want to live like that either, right? So I've done. There's a lot of, and my mom used to be very violent to me too. So there's some instances with that, but it's like. It's funny, my therapist says that, like, if I didn't find comedy, I would be one of those guys, you know what I mean? That, you know, I could have been, you know what I mean? A transient kind of a guy, you know what I mean? If I didn't get sober early on in my life, you know, I got sober when I was 17. There's a lot of choices that I made. The two things was getting sober and also starting to do stand-up at 23 that saved me, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I was able to find something that, you know, I used as a defense mechanism, which is comedy and humor. And because I was sober too, that I could walk through fear, you know what I mean? A little easier because back then, or it's still in AA, you know, you have this higher power thing. So I would, you know, mm-hmm. The third step is to turn it over, right? So it's like.
What's that mean?
Turn it over to God. So let God, you know, have basically faith.
Jesus take the wheel.
Yeah, but not Jesus, you know.
Yeah, I'm with
you. So it would be like when I was 23, and I started doing stand-up, I was so scared. But I would do that. I'd go, I'm just going to turn it over, and then I'm going to just dive in. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I want a big life. I've always wanted a big life. And as a kid, living in the circumstances as I did, you know, I always dreamed of something different and better for myself, you know? And so luckily I found comedy. I mean, luckily, if I lived in Korea, dude, I'd be carrying rice. I mean, all get back and forth from between.
Funniest rice carrier ever meet,
I'd be making everyone laugh, right? I put the rice in my nose or I would snort rice. You know what I mean? I would do things. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, right? Right. I would do tricks. You know what I mean? Yeah. But you're like, I would be having some ridiculous job like that, right? But like, so luckily, you know, in America, you know what I mean? There are other options. Thank God for podcasting. Like, this is a thing.
Changed my life.
It changed my life too, you know? So it's like, what I love about this podcasting, and I love, this is what I love about it is, you know, back in the 90s, you'd come to LA. When did you move to LA?
The second time, 97.
Right. So when you come here, so back then, 97, were you doing stand-up then?
No, I did improv first and then stand-up after.
Right. But when you came here, you're like, all right, there was like a blueprint on how to make it.
I mean, I had a loose direction. I just knew I needed to get on stage.
Right.
And then figure it out from there. Like, I never once considered agent, manager, none of that in the beginning. Not in the very beginning. Yeah. The first thing was like, let me find places.
But that was an important thing that you needed. So, you know, a lot of comics would hang out and they'd be like, who's your agent? Or are you SAG? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and all
SAG
those things.
Was a thing.
SAG was a thing. I got my SAG card. Yeah. And then you would contemplate them. How do I get a SAG card? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then they would go, you have to take acting classes. So you'd be in a Meisner technique class. You know what I mean? Spend all your money, right, on like doing repetitions or whatever, right? Because there was a blueprint. And then there was gatekeepers. Like if these casting directors didn't like you, you're fucked. Or if these agents didn't like you, you're fucked, right?
Or if this network said,
you're
funny, but we like these 10 people.
Right. So it those were it. And if they didn't like you, you're shit out of luck, right? But what the internet did was it bypassed that.
It did. Not only did it do that, it also proved us right. I knew. I'm not saying I'm funnier than anyone else, but saying I know I'm funny enough to make a living at this and be successful at it, and you're not giving me a chance. And these fucking people, and these things let us go right over that fucking wall or under it or around right. it or through it
yeah.
and prove ourselves not only right, it's a big fuck you back to everybody else. Like, look, you're just holding us back for nothing.
Yeah.
Why? Because I look like an ex-boyfriend you don't like? You know what I mean? It's that dumb sometimes.
Yeah, it's
that fucking dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
There is no structure to this. There's no like, do this for 4 years, you do this, another 2 years you're this, and then you're a doctor, you know, a lawyer, and you're a judge. None of that.
Yeah,
none of that.
Yeah.
So
so Saturday night I did a Tiger Barely Live. We were at the Ace Hotel theater in downtown, sold it out, 1600 seats. We did a game show on stage, right? And it was all Tiger Belly fans, you know what I mean? And we did a Q&A for VIPs earlier, and I got really emotional. People got really emotional, and they were talking about why they love our podcast and this and that. Anyway, during the show, you know, packed, it killed. I mean, it was like people stand, it was insane, right? But my agent showed up. My agents, not Asians. Asian, no, Asians, the Asians showed up too. Asians, Asians were there too, right? But like my agent showed up, and they're, you know, they're wearing their suits and they're in the back. And they're like looking around, and you know what I mean? And they're and 8 years ago, I called them and I said, can you help me with this podcast? And they go, well, now we do, you know what I mean? You do that on your own, right? And, you know, I feel bad because, you know, they don't get a cut of anything, you know what I mean? Right? And they're, you know, I think, I don't know, we're trying to figure it out, right?
There ain't no figuring it out.
No, we are. I am trying to figure it out.
Don't you figure it out.
No, I'm trying to figure it out to see what they can do. Because I do love them. Just let me finish. Let me finish what I'm saying.
Let me finish what I'm saying.
Because
it's my alpha eyes.
Matt, my agent, right? Yeah. He's been my agent since the 90s, mm-hmm. right? So it's like there is a relationship there. But, you know, a long time ago when I asked for help, you know, they go, we do bigger things, podcasts, right? At the time, they were like, what are your numbers? Like, we had just started. So I go, 100 downloads? I don't know. You know what I mean? 50 downloads, right? Like, no, right? So they didn't help. And they go, you just do that on your own. So I did, right? And now, you know, it's a thing, right? And now they all want a piece of it, right? So it was just kind of a cool, it was kind of not a fuck you, but it was more of a, this is what I did. This is what you could have helped with, right? And you didn't.
So now if you want something, go get you the mega deal. Go that's do what that I, and get a cut off of that.
That's what I said.
Take this fucking spaceship that I just took out to Pluto and take us to another fucking universe, motherfucker.
Right.
And then you can have it.
That's what
I had an agent tell me the same thing.
What?
He laughed and said, come back when you're making real money. And I said, that's exactly when I'm not coming back.
I know.
That's exactly what I said to him. I asked the same. I asked my manager. I'm like, look, man, if you can help me between – this was between the Crab Feast and the Honeydew.
Yeah.
If you can help me, man, we can do this. And he just wasn't – he couldn't. And I'm like, Then I got to do this on my own.
I know.
And I wouldn't have it any other fucking way.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but don't you think that it would have been nice to get help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course it would, but in hindsight, I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah,
I've learned so much more through doing all of this. Not just about podcasting stuff, but we've had producers do shady shit and turnover. You learn a lot about people, you know.
Yeah,
we've got Kirsten, I just want to say
I do love
phenomenal.
My agency.
I'm not saying you don't.
Thank you. I'm with them.
You don't even need to say this.
No, I want to though.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I love them.
You said nothing wrong.
Yeah, no, I do
you
love
said
them.
I came to them. They,
I know, but
they
I'm just
didn't
saying,
help,
that's the
and
truth.
Now it's huge.
It is
and
the
now
truth.
They want to cut.
The truth.
So now they got to do something with it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
All.
So what we said was, it's funny because we went there, and you know, it's a huge building. You know, it's the billion. You know, they have Steven Spielberg and all these huge names, right? Radiohead or whatever, right? So that's what they represent, right? And we're in this beautiful conference room. And it was flattering for them to go, you know what I mean? Like, we want to help, you know what I mean? And it's cool, but you can't help but think, you know what I mean? Wow. You know what I mean?
Where were you when I asked?
I mean, yeah. Yeah. But I do love them. And, you know, I don't, you know, thank you for everything. You know what I mean? It's weird, you know?
Yeah, I've been watching you put your foot in your mouth lately. I saw the Emily shit on the Comedy Store podcast. Kill me, dude. Because I didn't see that first. I saw your apology first in person. You were like, oh, my God. I saw that. And then I saw the clip, and I started dying.
I want to tell Emily this. The reason why I said that.
And Emily books for me.
I know, and I love her. I love her.
My sushi.
Honestly, dude. I love her. And I have to say this, okay?
That, and she knows you do, by the way.
Deeply. And not only that, is that the reason why I did that, right? So let's say for your audience, I was on the Comedy Store podcast and I lied. And I basically said, yeah, I don't get spots either that much. You know what I mean? I think they only give me spots out of loyalty is what I said, right? And then I looked in through the window and Emily was in the room, right? And I go, yeah. I'm kidding, right? But the reason why I said it in the first place is so that Johnny could feel better.
Because he's not getting spots.
Yeah, he's not getting spots. So I just wanted him to feel better. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did to soothe him. Honestly, that's what it was. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I do get spots every time I call in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're there all the time.
So then I felt like a weasel. I get more spots than anyone else. So I felt like a fucking weasel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I wanted to say to Emily, you know what I mean? I'll do anything. You know? That's it. Yeah, I apologize, you know. I'm a fucking weasel. Am I a weasel?
No.
All right.
So.
What's up?
I want to know what's next for you then. You're just going to take some time. Let me ask you this. Forget this. How do you heal? How do you move on when the person's literally under your roof in the bed next to you? How do you move past that?
Heal? There's no healing.
No,
because.
You said you were heartbroken. You said those things.
No, we're both heartbroken about it.
So how do you unbreak your heart there? Tony Braxton?
Yeah, but what soothes what soothes us is that we have a deep. She's the love of my life.
I believe that,
and I love her.
That doesn't mean
more,
it needs to be intimate.
I know. I love her more than I can't. She's like, I'll tell you how I feel about her. I feel about her like I feel about my brother. You know what I mean? In terms of like. Like, I'm going to know this person. If she ever needed anything, you know what I mean? I would give her a lung, right? Like, that's how I feel about her, you know? She's my best friend. And I also love our relationship on our podcast. And we work so well together. It's such a good yin and yang.
It is. And it's interesting that, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking about it now. And you guys, as a couple... Your child has been Tiger Belly.
Yeah.
You have built that from, like you said, 50 fucking downloads. Everybody starts at one download.
We all
started at one.
Yeah.
And you've built that together and look at it now.
Yeah.
It's fucking thriving.
It's thriving.
Yeah. So to have to pivot in your relationship from this romantic boyfriend-girlfriend couple and to this professional couple and still maintain, I think it's pretty impressive. I know you're still newly into it, but...
Well, no, I mean, because if you look at... I think you look at, like... I don't know what Chris Pratt and Anna Faris's relationship is, but it doesn't seem like...
They're divorced.
I know they're divorced.
They're both remarried.
But I feel like there's some... Maybe some hostility or ugliness in that relationship, right? And I don't ever want to be like that with Kalilah, right? So I look at other Hollywood or like, you know, two people. Because, you know, Kalilah and I, we're not a regular relationship. Our relationship is out in the public. We're in the public eye, right? And it puts a different dynamic on the relationship, you know what I mean? And so it's like, because we're in the public eye, and I don't want to get resentful. I don't want the relationship to sour and have these deep resentments and this and that. So we're mindfully doing it in a healthy way so that we can still have our love, right? And still have a business and still continue in that way. You know what I mean? And I think we're doing it. We talk every night and we about how we feel and what's going on. And there's a lot of sadness, like I said.
Well, that's why I was asking about healing. You said there were tears and things
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're in the process of it. I mean, I don't know.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever broken up with someone that you lived with and then stayed living with them?
Yeah, but I've never been in a relationship like this before.
Nothing like this.
I mean, every relationship I've ever had was 2 years, and I was out like clockwork, like to the day almost.
That's what you said, two years.
Yeah. And this has been a completely different thing. Although all my relationships with previous girlfriends have been really great, and I love them all, you know what I mean? But, you know, the only one that I really kind of talk to that's around is Sarah Hyland. You know what I mean? Not from Modern Family, but the comedian Sarah Hyland.
Yeah.
But Sarah Hyland does our podcast. She did the live. She's very close with Kalila, you know? And, Sarah and I didn't see each other after our relationship for years. And then she got married to somebody, Jen Rosenstein, who's a beautiful, talented woman. And, now they're a part of our family, you know? But, I don't want to do that with Kalila. I want to keep going, and I want to, you know, I want to see her every day, and I want to, we also have 7 animals, bro.
Damn. You know what I mean? A lot of animals. Yeah.
We have 7 animals that we got during our relationship, you know, and how do you split them apart?
Right.
It's like having children. I love every single one of them. You know what I mean? Deeply.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a hard thing, man, but. We're figuring it out. Is that an hour?
Yeah, bro.
That went good, huh?
Great.
Did you like it?
I loved it. I wanted to say thank you very much for coming on and talking about
of
that.
Course,
I know it's not
man.
Easy. It's fresh and all. But before I get you out of here, I want to ask you now, after what we've talked about, going back to what you know about yourself and everything you've said, what advice would you give your 16-year-old self?
There's a lot, man. My 16-year-old self, I would say, all those things that you think are going to fix you, you know what I mean? These goals and aspirations and all these things that if only this happens or this, I promise you, number one, you will get those things. And number two, you won't feel any different, right? So get happy now, you know, because it's, and I used to never believe that. I mean, even as a kid, you would hear people would say, you know, it nothing, money or all these won't fix you. And you would go, fuck no, it will. You trust me. I'm so stressed out right now. You have no idea. I don't know how I'm going to eat. Yeah. And those things do alleviate, right?
Yes.
But all these other issues. And I'm telling you right now, there is really no difference in terms of how I feel. You know what I mean? So it's like, I have to do it now. You know what I mean? And also at 16, I would say, like, you're going to get pussy. You'll get it. You know, because I was like, hate it.
Not girls, but you're getting pussy.
You will. You'll see a vagina one day, right? You know, I would, because if I told my 16-year-old, he would cry. Because at 16, I thought, because in high school, no one looked at me. I was like a Korean kid in an all-white school, and not that they were racist or anything like that, but I just was not viewed.
That didn't make you exotic?
No. Because if I was like, if I look like, BTS, you know what I mean? A tall, kind of a good looking, maybe, right? But I was like small too, you know what I mean? And kind of like wire, you know, the wiry and eccentric, I guess, you know what I mean? And it's like, I thought I was going to be, you know what I mean? An incel or whatever, right? But I want to look at my 16-year-old says, one day you'll see very good ones. Nice ones, you know what I mean? We'll be good. You know what I mean? You'll love it.
I love you, Bobby.
I love you too, bud.
Promote whatever you'd like again.
So,
please.
Bad Friends, Tiger Belly, and that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on.
Love you, bud.
And thank you guys as well. As always, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.